Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Success Circle Business Accelerator call, and Happy New Year. This is Lisa Minini with Accelerate Associates, and I'm so glad that you could join us. We're going to get started with today's Business Accelerator call. For those of you that are brand new, welcome. Welcome to the Success Circle Business Accelerator call. The purpose of this call is to take an element of the Entrepreneurial Edge system that you learned either through the self-study program. I know some of you are enrolled in that, or at the Wake Up Profitable boot camp for business owners. I know some of you are going and meeting us in Hawaii. So we're all excited about that. So the purpose of the Business Accelerator call is to dive a little deeper into the Entrepreneurial Edge system, and today is no different. But before we get started and before I introduce my very special guest, I want to also remind everyone of the brand new Profitability Lab introductions that are occurring and actually starting this month. In January. What is the Profitability Lab introduction? Well, the Profitability Labs are half-day sessions that, for those of you that are in the Michigan area, we are meeting in Michigan for a full half-day to really work on your business. And for those of you that are not, we have the online version also starting in January. So what we're going to do in the Profitability Lab introductions is we're going to explore what's possible for you with a brand new approach to profitability. So you instantly will find more money and time in your business. It's true. I have brand new content that I am going to show you, and as business owners, it'll help you shift from busy to profitable. Because what's the first question I ask people? Hey, how you doing? And what's their answer? I'm busy. Yeah, but are you busy or are you profitable? So we're going to explore that in the Profitability Lab introductions, and really get you connected to the contribution that you're making in the world. Because I would bet most of you don't really realize the impact that you're making in this world. So we're going to get really clear on that. So we're going to go through really a fundamental shift on profitability that really will leave you at ease and in alignment with your vision for the future and empowered to overcome any single obstacle. So if you want to have a breakthrough year, that I encourage you to go to accelerateassociates.com/profitability-lab-introduction and register for the upcoming one of the upcoming introductions. So I invite you to do that. Love to work with you. Full half day. Tuition's only $47. So, you know, there's no excuse for you not to be there. Either online or live in Michigan. All right, well, let's get started. Today is all about marketing messages that matter. And we're going to go through why the traditional copywriting and marketing formula isn't working. What people are responding to marketing in today's marketplace, and how to apply a new copywriting and marketing formula to connect with your ideal clients. My very special guest is Lisa Mannion, and she's the business marketing architect and a content strategist for mission-driven entrepreneurs and business owners. She's also the creator of the new marketing model for success. And Lisa's model is Challenge Solution Invitation. Challenge Solution Invitation. And really, copywriting and marketing has really shifted and is shaping the future of how we market today. And her new formula is really shaping that in today's marketplace. Lisa has, and why I invited her to speak today, is her relationship-first approach is really friendly, effective. It teaches people how to create marketing messages with integrity based on values. So you can see why it just goes really well with the Entrepreneurial Edge system and what we teach there and why I invited her today. Her philosophies have been featured in Inc. magazine along visionaries Richard Branson, Jessica Jackley, Arianna Huffington, and B Corporations like Ben & Jerry's in the best-selling books Wonder Woman, How Western Women Will Save the World and Engage, your step-by-step guide to creating a workplace that you, your coworkers, and your customers love. Lisa's a thought leader in copywriting, strategy, and marketing, and she specializes in powerfully communicating your marketing message to increase results. Now, I could go on and on and on about Lisa, but I think that kind of sums up what she's all about. So, Lisa, welcome to the Business Accelerator Call.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here to play with you and your community.
It's good to have you here. So, Lisa, can you tell us a little bit about your background? Because you've just got such an impressive background. You're known for your manual marketing web makeovers, content strategy plans. I mean, you've really consulted with high-level entrepreneurs and generated hundreds of thousands of dollars for their campaigns. Share with us a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. I am just really blessed to have been extremely curious about marketing and copywriting and just the written word from the time I was a very young child. And I would actually watch television commercials. They'd come on in between Captain Kangaroo and cartoons and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would study them. I would look at them and say, oh my goodness, they're really missing the mark. And there was just something, there was an intuitive knowing that drew me throughout my life to write, to pursue journalism, and to manage the school newspapers for not only advertising management, but also writing articles. So it just kind of evolved. And then when I went off into the real world and started working, I worked for radio stations, newspapers, advertising agencies, and I was able to acquire a well-rounded skill set that many people don't have because I've played with every single medium. So radio, television, print, magazine, direct response, online marketing, you name it, I've done it. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, fast forward to, it was 2003 when I finally decided that I wanted to do things on my own terms, and I resigned from the premier ad agency that I was working for at that time to start right on creative.com.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I had a 2-year non-compete in my local market, so most people would kind of let that defeat them, and I always turn any obstacle into an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, great, let's go global. So,
right, no problem.
Yeah. I knew you would appreciate that. So I started studying with some of the very best online marketers and copywriters because I decided, first of all, I was extremely determined, and I decided I'm not going to let a non-compete stop me. And
mm-hmm.
I also didn't want to adhere to the buyout clause and start my own ad agency. I knew it was time for me to go into a different direction. So after adding direct response and long copywriting skills to my, toolkit,
mm-hmm.
I've been successfully running Right on Creative now for 11 years.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thanks. And, I think that's an important milestone to touch on because one of the reasons that, I'm so passionate about your work and what you teach people in your community members and your programs is that it's important to have the right tools in place because the most recent statistic that I read about new startup businesses is
mm-hmm.
that most of them, actually 85% of them, fail within 18 months of startup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So having all these tools in place really gives you a strong foundation to figure out your strategy to really strengthen your own toolkit and make the right decisions so that you can have long-term business success.
Perfect. Now, you've often said that the traditional copywriting and marketing formula just isn't working. So what do you mean by that and what's not working?
Sure. Well, after working with hundreds upon hundreds, probably thousands now, I'd have to go back and count for sure, business owners and entrepreneurs, something was broken. And I had people coming to me and saying, Lisa, I've studied with the top marketing gurus and copywriters and mentors, and I've focused on all of these pain points for my client, and I've written this content, but they're just not, they're not buying. People don't want to work with me. I don't understand what's wrong. And so I would guide them through a different approach. What's been taught and is still being taught by most people is an antiquated formula called the problem, agitate, and solve formula. And the whole premise of this copywriting and marketing formula is to identify the problems of your prime prospects and ideal clients, which I agree with. That part I totally agree with.
Mm-hmm.
The next part, though, is to agitate those pain points. So you're basically poking at those pain points, and you're getting people into a heightened emotional frenzy in a manipulative way. And then you're supposed to swoop in with your solution like the big marketing hero.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I sat back and watched this for a long time, and everyone that I studied with was teaching the same approach, and it didn't settle well with me. And I also noticed that most of the people, and I call the clients that I work with and the business owners that I work with are mission-based entrepreneurs and business owners. And that means that they have this really big mission
mm-hmm.
in this world, but they're struggling to turn it into a palatable marketing message. And the reason is because these antiquated techniques are being taught, and they don't feel good about manipulating people. Because really, after breaking it down and watching this happen over the past, you know, couple of decades, actually, I have realize that what was broken for the people coming to me was this problem agitate and
mm-hmm.
solve formula. It didn't work because it didn't resonate on a deep soul level with being of true service and building relationships, which marketing is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
No, I think that goes for a lot of people that kind of followed that, and I think you and I can both attest that we tried those. It didn't work because it also didn't feel in alignment with who we are, fundamentally who we are.
Yes, exactly. And I think, you know, people are trying to build successful campaigns based on a broken model. And then I always share that, you know, I don't know about you, but I cannot think back to a time that I was agitated and decided to make a purchasing decision. And if I did, if ever that happened, there's a very good chance that there was buyer's remorse involved,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So I joke and I say the only time I've ever made a purchase when I'm agitated had nothing to do with marketing or advertising and everything to do with the need for wine or chocolate.
Good point. Yeah.
That's cute.
So what?
Yeah.
Well, I like to keep it light because, you know, I think these manipulative formulas have done some real damage. You know, people have invested a lot of money in learning these techniques, and honestly, I was really quiet, sitting back and listening to all of these people share this formula that didn't feel right to me. But I was also early on, you know, questioning myself, and I had the who am I to question that syndrome going on, and I think we all feel that way, and it's important for me to be a little bit vulnerable and share that so that anyone listening who has come up with a new idea that's completely contrary to what's being taught listens to their, you know, their internal selves and really
mm-hmm.
takes that inner knowing and that intuition really and acts upon it. Because had I not chosen to speak up about what I am now teaching that's an
mm-hmm.
alternative to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, who knows? People would have maybe stayed stuck. And what really I'm honored and I'm humbled by is that people are reading articles that I've written and
mm-hmm.
taking advantage of, you know, free training materials and interviews that I offer, and they're getting exceptional results. In fact, oftentimes from the free material I share, they're getting better results than they got even from investing in high-level programs.
Yeah. So what works better than that? I mean, obviously we've identified what's not working. And I think to some degree, Lisa, you know, we're really dealing with an educated workforce or an educated marketplace, rather. And
mm-hmm.
You know, I think to a large degree those been, you know, those other techniques have been out there, but people are so attuned to it now that it's just ineffective anyway. And it really they've experienced the buyer's remorse and the returns on their things, so they don't, you know, they're not using it as much. What do you believe works better?
Well, what I believe works better is the technique that I've taught all along and that I finally named in 2011. And that's an important point to note, because once I named this formula, it took on a life of its own. Mm-hmm. And what I teach is the challenge, solution, and invitation formula. And it's really a very simple three-step formula to create marketing messages with integrity based on your values and what really, really works, being of true service. And I think that's, you know, the most important thing that we can do is to be transparent, to keep it real, and to offer solutions that actually work. So,
go ahead. Tell us a little bit more about that marketing formula.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to just share, you know, the contrast and how it differs from the problem, agitate, and solve for sure. So by addressing the challenge, we're actually looking at, we are aware of the problems that our ideal clients and our prime prospects have. However, we're not focusing on those problems. We're acknowledging the challenge with empathy and understanding. Mm-hmm. So we're not poking at any pain points and making people feel less than or trying to freak them out by using the scare tactics,
right,
or anything like that. We're simply saying, oh my gosh, so this is the situation that you're experiencing. I understand that challenge. And then we roll right into the solution. And we focus on what we can do to help. And within the solution piece, I always recommend that you incorporate case studies and real-world examples,
mm-hmm,
of how your product or service or whatever it might be that you're selling in the marketplace is genuinely helping.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you just roll it into a very friendly invitation. It doesn't have to be any pushy or hard sell tactic at all.
Mm-hmm.
You can empower people with the choice to do business with you or not, depending,
mm-hmm,
on how they feel about it, by just letting them know what's next. And so many people forget to do that. So for me in my business, what I find is most people that come to me are, the challenge they're facing is they've got a really big mission. They're struggling to turn it into a palatable marketing message that works.
Mm-hmm.
My solution is actually the challenge, solution, and invitation formula, which is an absolute fantastic framework to break the trance, challenge the status quo, and engage critical thinking. Once that happens, people are awakened to the opportunities, and they get great results. I mean, one woman read an article that I wrote just outlining the challenge, solution, and invitation formula. From that article, she applied the framework to her live events that were not getting very good results or engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first two live events that she used this technique, she had people flocking to her and wanting to connect, staying afterwards to figure out how they could work with her. And she wrote me a really cool testimonial about it. And that was just from reading an article. She didn't even work with me personally. So I think that's really nice. And so my invitation from there, you know, the invitation is always to explore more. Google my name, look at the free stuff on my blog or my website, and see how it feels to you. And then you determine from there the next step. I'm not going to try and convince you that it's right for you or that it's wrong for you. That's up to you to decide, because I know I'm working with very high-level smart decision makers just like you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it's so conversational, really. It brings the relationship back into the marketing mix, and we've been missing that for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just want to clarify, when you say solution, you're not suggesting in your marketing materials you give them the solution.
You absolutely do.
Okay.
You tell them what your solution is. It can be, I mean, I do. Challenge, solution, invitation, the formula is the solution. They can choose to apply it on their own, or they can work with me on higher level projects. But
mm-hmm,
yeah, I think that we've been taught to allude to the solution but not give too much away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't agree with that.
I think
it's okay to share, because guess what? This woman who took the formula after reading an article and was able to get success, that was fantastic. She reached out to me, and what is happening is by doing that, even though she isn't an actual customer, I'm creating customer evangelism, so to speak, where people
Absolutely.
Are talking about this, and it's creating a really big buzz. So we don't want to give everything away, of course, but I think it's very important to clearly educate. And the other piece around the solution is that we might not be the right solution for everyone. In fact, I know that I'm not the right solution for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to also move our interactions with people from that competitive nature to a more collaborative
mm-hmm.
culture,
yeah.
where we're saying, listen, where I might say, you know what, I don't have a program like that, but my great friend Lisa Manini does, and she's fantastic, and so I don't think I'm the right fit for you, but let me do this warm introduction for you to Lisa, because I bet the two of you can create some real magic together. And it just takes things to another level where you're building that trust and rapport, whether or not your solution is the right solution,
mm-hmm.
and eventually people will circle back around if it's right for them, or at the very least, send people your way.
So in addition to strong copy, using the challenge solution invitation formula, what else needs to be in place to market effectively, in your opinion, Lisa?
This is one of my favorite things. It's strategy. Number one, strategy. So here's the piece that so many people are missing. We get inundated with all of these to-dos that we're supposed to do. And, I mean, I know you probably have a list, so do I. Delegation is good.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is we have to have a very, very strong strategy to move things forward. And, in fact, there's an age-old advertising and copywriting adage that says that copy is king. And
mm-hmm.
copy is the written part of all marketing, advertising, and promotional materials. Just in case someone doesn't know, I don't like to assume, because sometimes I throw jargon around and people say, what is that? But the truth is, copy is not king. Copy is queen. Strategy is king. And just like a relationship, they have to be working together, or you're not going to get the results you'd hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things that I see happening. Often people will invest in a copywriter, and they will create really fantastic content, and they'll be really excited about launching a program or a product.
Yeah.
But they don't have the strategy in place to drive the traffic to that offer, and they
mm-hmm.
think somehow that there's this magic bullet that's going to draw everyone to this content with no strategy.
Of course.
And I can't tell you how many times I've seen that. I actually started not writing any content for people who want to launch programs unless they can show me their launch strategy schedule, and it's a real strategy. It's not just sending out one email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's really important. And on the other side of that, I've seen people who have this really elaborate, fantastic strategy in place, and their content, their messaging is so weak, their copy is so weak that you could drive hundreds of thousands of people to the offer and no one would bite.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so I agree with you, Lisa. I think that there needs to be, it's just like when people are either launching a business or even launching a book in my bestseller Profit System, people are amazed at the strategy that goes in before they even write their book, you know, what
yeah.
needs to happen. I mean, like a year ahead of time, while you're writing your book, what you need to do as part of your strategy to make sure that when you do launch your book, that you have certain things in place. Same with a business, or same with any type of launch, product launch. I mean, to your point, you've got to have that solid strategy in place. Otherwise, people get to the page, and great, you know, even if you have a great page, it's not going to convert on its own.
No, it's not, and that's where the invitation piece comes into play. You want to let people know what's next.
Right.
Always, but so many people miss that as well, which, and I get that you and I, it's kind of second nature to us.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we get so overwhelmed with all of the things that we need to put together for marketing and for our content that we can forget those pieces, which is why people get great results when I do a Manion Marketing Web Makeover, because we go through and look at all that and then realize, oh my goodness, I'm missing any kind of invitation for people to know how to contact me or do business with me. And so it's more common than you might think,
mm-hmm.
and I say that with no judgment. It's just a matter of education.
Right. Now, your philosophy
and how we can make
– go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Don't finish what you were saying.
Oh, I was just going to say, and how we can make all of our marketing more effective so that we can be of true service to the people that we are meant to serve, you know?
Yeah, and speaking of your formula, your philosophies are really getting quite a bit of attention. You've been in Aspire Magazine, Dare Magazine, Inc. Magazine, Interview, best-selling books, other media outlets. How did that all start?
Well, this is kind of fun and interesting, and this is something that people might want to write down, and I know you already know this, Lisa, but it's really exciting. It's when you name what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
that synergy and energy will create a life of its own. As soon as I named the challenge, solution, and invitation formula, people got it because I was giving that framework.
Right.
And they understood it quickly. Now, I'd been doing this for many years, but I just hadn't named it.
Right.
And so that's how that happened. I actually was invited to write a feature article about my history and my philosophies for Aspire Magazine, which is how it all started, actually, because I named my formula when I wrote that article. I was being featured on the cover, and it was the first magazine cover I was featured on, and I was really excited. And I named it, and it seriously took on a life of its own. And then from there, all these really wild things happened. You know, I was interviewed by Inc. Magazine. I had people who were writing books reaching out to me saying, hey, can we include your philosophies? And keep in mind, these are not pay-to-play opportunities. I don't do any of that. You know, this mm-hmm. is all based on knowledge and credibility. And then one of the most exciting things that happened last year in 2014 is that I also was able to present at the California Women's Conference, and I took People's Choice Award.
Yay!
For sharing my message. Yeah, thank you. And so now I've spoken at venues with people like Jack Canfield and mm-hmm. Arianna Huffington mm-hmm. and Lisa Nichols and J.J. Virgin and all these people, and I say that with excitement and awe and from a truly humbled space, because I didn't realize, I mean, I knew this was important, but I didn't realize how big it really was
yeah.
and how important it was to other people.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, Lisa, because one of the key things that I show people how to do in the Entrepreneurial Edge system and the Wake Up Profitable is I show them how to name their signature program. So I so appreciate you saying that. In the importance of naming what you do so that you can separate yourself in the marketplace. With all the chatter that's going out there, yours is rising to the top because it's definitive. People can it's tangible. People can put their arms around it, right?
Yeah, and you know, I thought of you immediately after I had named it, actually, because I thought, oh my gosh, Lisa teaches this. And, you know, I help other people do similar things when we're working on their content. And I hadn't done it for myself. It's a case of the cobbler's kid not having
yeah.
shoes.
You know what I mean? Right. Oh, I totally get that. Yeah, totally get that. So share with us a little bit about the elements of copy that most people struggle with. I'm sure you work with this every day. And what are those elements of copy that a lot of people, you know, are just having a hard time with?
Well, they're kind of actually behind the scenes pieces, really. I mean, we've got the broken formula. That's one aspect of it. But also what people are struggling with is a little bit of trying to be all things to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. so one of the pieces that I teach in one of my programs is how to really infuse your values into your marketing, especially because what's happened is many people have been advised to go for the low-hanging fruit or to create a business just based on revenue-generating models. Now, don't get me wrong. We all love to make money, and that's important. However, if you've created a business that has not infused your personal values
mm-hmm.
into your mission statement, both personally and professionally,
mm-hmm.
your business mission statement,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be an energetic disconnect, and people wonder why things aren't working out when they've created something that might be a revenue generator, but they're not passionate about it, and it doesn't feed their soul and support their values. So not being clear on your values and not knowing how to incorporate them into your marketing mix so it drives everything as a part of your strategy is a big thing that I see. The other thing that I see is really chasing not-so-ideal clients instead of choosing
mm-hmm.
ideal clients.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the difference. We've all had an opportunity to work with someone that really was not our ideal client, and it probably wasn't a great experience for anyone involved. And as we evolve in our business, it's okay to choose your clients. And in fact, you should. And most of the time what happens for me when I work with my ideal clients is not only are they clients, they become colleagues and friends, and they can be all things as long as you keep really clear boundaries and you're very clear about who it is that you want to serve and who you want to play with.
Mm.
Yeah, and the final piece that's missing there, you know, is gaining that clarity and revisiting. And I say revisiting because as we grow and evolve as people, so do our businesses and so do our clients. And, you know, if I were still marketing in the same way I was marketing when I first started my business 11 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be attracting the clients that I'm attracting today.
Mm-hmm. Why not? What's different?
Well, like I said, we grow and we evolve, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was working with a lot of beginners, and when I started out, I was accepting clients that weren't ideal just because I needed the money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're working towards meeting revenue goals. So there were actually several people who were teaching that you need to accept them, whether you would like it or not. Now, that's not someone I would listen to today, but I had my fair share of trial and error when learning from others and discerning who I should listen to and who I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking sales pages, when you're talking copy on your website, is there with your formula? Would you recommend? Does that follow the similar format that you often see that you know your testimonials go in a certain place and you know then the offer goes in another place and is your formula aligned with that at all or completely separate?
Well, it can be depending on your strategy. So there is a time and place for long sales copy, for sure. I have it for a couple of my programs. I don't use it for everything, for sure. But yeah, I mean, if you look at the overarching foundation of a sales page, you're going to have the challenge, you're going to have the solution, you're going to have the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
How you choose to format that is up to you. I mean, typically, yes, you've got your headline, you've got the challenge, you've got some background, you've got solution within the solution or testimonials, then you have your invitation. So it can work, but what I'm finding is my approach empowers people to soften their approach.
Mm-hmm.
So it removes the pain points and the agitating of those pain points and the manipulation piece of it. So the basic framework for a sales letter is fine. It's how you choose to incorporate your languaging and incorporate my formula. So if you look at a sales page that's using the problem, agitate, and solve approach in addition to general formatting and techniques, you'll see a big difference because you'll hear a lot of language like, are you frustrated with, or, you know, pointing out the negativity in a person's situation as opposed to using the challenge, solution, and invitation formula where you'll see, we understand or we acknowledge that this is happening, and then you'll see, once you discover the solution, these are the positive things that will happen in your life. So we're focusing more on the outcome and painting a picture of how life will be better once you've actually experienced the product or service as opposed to how miserable a person is right now and how they absolutely have to have what you have
right.
Better.
I think that's a great illustration of the difference and why your formula resonates with so many people is because,
yeah.
You know, I think people already get that. You know, they're, all right, I am miserable, but, you know, that is the challenge. And I love the way that you shifted the wording to, hey, I want to acknowledge that. Yeah, that's, you know, that's the reality, and here's what's possible.
Yeah, it's all about possibilities, really, and I choose to live in a world full of possibilities, and in fact, I think that's really important. I think giving people hope and possibilities from a realistic standpoint, you know,
mm-hmm.
offering things that they can achieve that really will help is important because sometimes with the other formula, the problem, agitate, and solve formula, often offers and solutions are inflated and maybe people aren't always able to deliver on what they promise, which is part of the reason that the buyer's remorse is perpetuated with that model as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important, too, to mention, you know, one of the reasons that it's so important to shift the way that we market is that the marketplace has shifted, and back when these antiquated formulas were created, we lived in a very different world. You know, men were the largest breadwinners, and that's absolutely changed. The landscape of consumers is very different and has been for a long time. People are just finally beginning to truly acknowledge and embrace that
mm-hmm.
women are influencing over 85% of all purchasing decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes, I think, across traditionally male-skewed brands like sports tickets, cars, things like that, it's over 50% too. So it's important to look at those numbers because we're really speaking to a primarily female audience
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the marketing message. And women respond differently than men do.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I find extremely interesting is that the Next Web did a survey, a poll of women, and they found that 91% of all of the women that were polled felt very misunderstood by advertisers. So this is really more of a traditional advertising thing. So we're talking about television commercials, radio commercials, print ads, magazine ads. 91% of the women polled felt very misunderstood by advertisers. And another interesting fact is only 3% of creative directors nationwide at advertising agencies are women.
Whoa.
I don't think that's a coincidence, that disconnect.
Yeah, you think? Well, you know, I saw some stats as we released our Leading Women book. There are 9.1 million firms owned by women. And again, we're not bashing men.
Not at all.
But and of these firms, they're employing nearly 7.9 million people and generating $1.4 trillion in sales. So the marketplace is changing and really understanding the delicate balance there.
Well, it's so true, and I think this is really valuable information for men in business who are decision makers to look and go and look at their advertising team, their marketing team, their copywriting team, and say, who are we really speaking to? Is
mm-hmm.
this working? Do we need to change that a little bit? Because
mm-hmm.
honestly, if just shifting your marketing message could increase your market share, I mean, that's a quick fix.
That is a quick fix. So, you know, you bring us to the next question I want to ask you, Lisa, which is, your advice on helping people create marketing messages that truly connect with their ideal clients, because you know, my clients, I'm always saying, understand your preferred client profile. We call it the preferred client profile. That gets them really clear on their demographics, their geographics, and their psychographics. So I would love to hear your advice in how do they create those marketing messages, because if they're meant, you know, if it's a male person, they may be working with females, and it's important to know certain things about how they market. So what's your advice that really connects with their ideal clients?
Yeah, you hit on the key pieces. You have to really know who your ideal client is and what drives them. And yes, all of those factors are important, and you need to be able to connect on an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
Not a manipulatively emotional level, an emotional level that really comes from that place of true service.
Give us an example of what that would sound like.
That's a really good question. Let me think about that for a second.
Sure, yeah, something maybe that you've worked with maybe one of your clients on.
Well, I mean, really just the best example is what we're talking about with the challenge, solution, and invitation formula, because when I share this with clients who have come to me, and primarily female clients, although I do work with men as well, again, not excluding them, but they'll come to me and they're feeling very, they're feeling almost like, and I'm not saying this to perpetuate negativity, but they're feeling like what they're doing is kind of a failure because their marketing isn't working, and that's not what we want.
Mm-hmm.
So I share what I've found just by saying, well, listen, tell me kind of what it is that you've been focused on. And they say, well, we've got the pain points all structured, and we know that we're supposed to talk about that, but we've written everything, and it's not working. And so I just basically reassure them and say, listen, you're not doing anything wrong other than we want to stop focusing on those pain points and really focus on the solution that you bring. And so I just shift the energy of it, and say, listen, try the challenge, solution, and invitation formula on for size. How does that sound to you? And actually just sharing that in contrast to the problem, agitate, and solve, I've had many people say there's just an energetic resonance
mm-hmm.
and sort of a relief. I've been told people are breathing a collective sigh of relief because it feels better. It sounds better. It
mm-hmm.
it just works better, right? It's about building those relationships. So I think, you know, we don't want to overcomplicate it. The
mm-hmm.
challenge, solution, and invitation formula gives a general framework, and you need to know how to relate to people on a very basic, genuine level in order to create that rapport, whether it's in writing, speaking, you know, whatever it is that you're putting together for your marketing content. Because those emotions, you know, tapping in on the positivity as opposed to the negativity is really where it's at. So when someone tells you to line out all the pain points and we're going to make sure we're poking at those pain points and we're going to, you know, get your client agitated so they know that they have to work with you and you're the only solution, that feels pretty weird. And then when you say, well, we're just going to acknowledge the challenge your clients are having and understand what those problems are, but not going to focus on that too much. We really want to show them what's possible, the solution, and then empower them with the opportunity to accept your invitation to do business together. It's just, it's an energetic thing, really, when you get down to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just, I completely agree. It is a different feel, and especially if that's what your ideal clients resonate with, you want to use it, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because words have so much power and so much energy, you know, and some people are motivated by more masculine words. You know, I've seen a lot of advertising out there saying, we're going to dominate the market. For me, that doesn't really resonate.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people who are extremely driven and who have really big goals, it might. So that's why it's super important to not only know exactly who your clients are, but the kind of languaging that they respond
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
And how the emotional reaction that they'll have.
How, you know, this is perfect, Lisa, because in really understanding your ideal client's natural hardwiring, your hardwiring, what I teach, is natural to who you are, and you, it's part of psychometrics. And when you're measuring a person's hardwiring, people will respond, words are psychometrics, and you will respond positively to some, and some will ping you negatively based on how you are naturally hardwired. So what you're saying is just like spot on, because if you know who your ideal clients are, you want to use those words that are going to attract them in your copywriting. And so I mean, it's a great illustration of what you just said, and an acknowledgement of what you said, that from a psychology standpoint and really understanding people's natural hardwiring, if you know who you work with best in their natural hardwiring, use those words in your copywriting to attract them. So perfect. I love that you shared that.
Yeah, and you'll notice, you'll see trends too, you know, as you're watching. There'll be, people will realize, oh my goodness, the spiritual crowd's really responding to authentic and all of these different words, and so suddenly you'll see them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is really kind of funny, because it was, I don't remember, it was I think in 2011 when I created my program, How to Create Marketing Messages with Integrity, Attract Your Ideal Clients with Your Authentic Voice, and the word authentic after that took off. I'm not saying I'm responsible for it. I just saw everyone trying
to use
that word in everything. And finally, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of that word, and my program is named that.
Yeah, sometimes it can be overused. I agree. The word
so
authentic.
The point is,
yeah.
Look for fresh angles. You know, just because everyone's using a word and it seems to be working with a specific demographic or target market doesn't mean that you have to use that. You can be creative
mm-hmm.
and stand apart, and sometimes that will connect even better.
Now, you also have a copywriting action plan that you want to give to My Success Circle members. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What is it? Where can people get it? And share a little bit about that.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for asking. So my copywriting action plan is really just a tool to help you write better copy. It's really very simple. And it is full of great free information. You also got a subscription to Mannion's Musings, and I share cool resources and articles in that. I don't inundate you with a ton of email.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, once you sign up for the Copywriting Action Plan and you receive a downloadable PDF
mm-hmm.
that shows you 7 ways that you can leverage your copy.
Mm.
And it also talks a lot about my challenge, solution, and invitation formula. And of course, there is some information about how a person can work with me if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of different ways that you can get that. It's on my award-winning blog, so if you were to Google Lisa Mannion or writeoncreative.com, you could get there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can follow this direct link, which is http
mm-hmm.
bit.ly/copyplan.
Great.
And it'll take you directly to the page that has a little video of my overview as well. And one of the things that I'm really excited about, it's about a $250 value. People tell me I should be selling it because they're getting such great results from it, but this is seriously just my gift to help people understand how to write their copy in a very conversational way
mm-hmm.
and really to stand apart from the crowd and to be of true service and to increase your profits. And that's what it's really all about. And all of those can work together. None of it has to be manipulative. And once people join the Write On Creative community, you do have the opportunity to schedule a complimentary Get Connected call with me as well. And so if you wanted to connect, you could connect in that way too.
Wonderful. Now, again, I'm just going to give that link again, http://B as in boy, I-T as in Tom, .ly, /copyplan. Now, Lisa, we do have a few minutes, so just wanted to, a few nuggets of, you know, most people do have their website, but where would you suggest they start? I mean, obviously download your action plan, copywriting action plan, but where do people start? So let's say they do have a website, it's got copy on it. Where would you tell them to start?
Well, with that, I mean, first of all, definitely check out the Copywriting Action Plan because you'll get all kinds of ideas about strategy and content there. But if you're too close to your message, which often people are, I highly recommend my Mannion Marketing Web Makeover. And that's where we spend time together one-on-one for an hour and review up to 7 pages of your content. And I look at the overall site strategy, the individual page strategy, and the messaging, and you walk away with an action plan that you can implement or delegate to your
mm-hmm.
team, which I like. We love the delegation.
Right.
To improve your web strategy and content right away. You'll also receive the audio for that. And if you want help doing full rewrites, I can help with that. But within that PDF of action items that you receive,
mm-hmm.
I also rewrite headlines for you. And this is why this is so important. One of the biggest mistakes that I see people making on their website is having really, really weak headlines. And headlines are the number one most read part of all content on your
wow.
site. And this is why it's important. You have exactly 3 seconds to catch someone's attention when they get to your website.
Mm-hmm.
You have 30 seconds to engage them, and they will make a purchasing decision within 3 minutes of being on your website.
Wow.
And it's interesting because I've had people who actually have really, really solid foundations for their content and their strategy, but after working together by just making some small adjustments,
mm-hmm.
one woman increased her opt-in rate by 50% within the first, I think it was either 30 or 90 days. I'd have to look at her testimonial to be sure, but I was really impressed with that because she actually took the information and implemented it and then got much better results.
Yeah, 50% opt-in is a huge shift. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, the results are seriously humbling and pretty incredible, but it's just a matter of we don't know what we don't know, and so often we're so close to our own work that it's really, really important to get that outside perspective, and even I need that. I mean, I'm so
mm-hmm.
close to my own work, I have people come in and say, what were you thinking there? I'm like, oh, that's good, I'll consider that. So I think it's important, too, to be open to constructive feedback and to look at other perspectives And to listen. I think one of the best skills we can have is to deeply listen and consider.
Where, just out of curiosity, Lisa, you were a pioneer in seeing that, you know, there was a disconnect there in the marketplace, that people were not resonating with that agitate formula, that something new was emerging. Where do you see now the marketplace going?
You know, that's interesting. In 2009, I wrote a chapter, and I predicted a lot of these changes that have happened. I wrote a chapter in another book, and all of them came true. And now I've been sitting with that and wondering where things are going. And you know what's interesting is I see community hubs as being a very huge piece of business. So the online world is fantastic, and your website's important, and all of that's important. But I really feel a shift to back to basics, to people really craving that in-person time.
Yeah.
So a lot of the training that I've been doing has been on a local level. You know, definitely I do some of the larger venues and things like that too, but I recently presented for a small business development center here locally, and they had the largest turnout that they'd ever had. And there's this real hunger for businesses within your own community who want to connect and collaborate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. I've seen the same trend.
I was going to just ask you. I'm curious to hear what you see, because we're so both on the pulse of all of this. I want to know what you're seeing.
Absolutely. Well, and one of the reasons why we are launching our profitability labs is as we see that now, we obviously have the technology, so we can still work with people regardless of where they are, which a good portion of who I work with is all over the world. But also to make sure you're connecting too locally, and I think that's just as important. Well, and you see that in search engine optimization. The majority of searches are done for local businesses.
Yes.
So you want to make sure. And you know, it's funny, Lisa, that you know some of my best clients I found on Twitter. Or they found me on Twitter, or they found me on LinkedIn, and I'm in their backyard. So
You know, social media, when done right, can be so powerful. I have friends that I've met on social media that I haven't met in person, and we've become very close, and we've mm-hmm. done collaborative ventures together. I've been interviewed on some of their radio programs. It's very amazing what you can do.
Right.
But I think a fine blend, you know, online and offline is important, which I think is interesting because it feels almost like I'm circling back around, you know, to where I began, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's there is still a shift happening, and I'm not sure quite where it's going. There's a lot of technology still happening. We've seen what people have been saying for years, which is there's going to be more mobile activity and more things done on a person's phone. And so we're seeing that actually happening right now. And I was just curious what you thought from a copywriting marketing standpoint, what the trends are that are happening in the marketplace.
Yeah, you know, really, I'm seeing more and more people using less copy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me
you
too.
Know, really, a lot of, and it's interesting because for a long time people were teaching that it was absolutely necessary to have a long sales letter, and that's one of the tools in my toolkit, but I don't focus on those as much anymore because I'm finding more and more they're not as necessary as they were because there's that human connection piece,
mm-hmm.
and they definitely are still very useful, but I see a trend to shorter, pithier content, and then what's also happening is that people are realizing that the sales copy online alone is not converting. So it's taking actual sales teams and conversations to reach the numbers that were previously attained just by online conversions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's happening across the board, really, and I think that's very interesting to see.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see how people are changing their strategies based on that. So,
mm-hmm.
and adding to their sales flow or sales funnel,
and their sales team.
And their sales team, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, that's one of the things that I'm always very transparent about where I am in my business that I'm looking at for my business because I have several revenue streams online that I'm not necessarily working as well as I should because I need to get the right brand evangelist for my brand to handle that, so I'm out doing my other magic, right?
Right, 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 right. Exactly, exactly.
So I think it's important to know, you know, be flexible and notice what those market trends are and see the shifts that you have to make within your business to make things work. And
mm-hmm.
we do have to change with the ebb and flow of business. And we
mm-hmm.
do have to change with consumer demands. And, you know, just like you mentioned the use of mobile phones, and it's interesting to look at your Google Analytics to see how many people are looking at your site via mobile applications or desktop
mm-hmm.
applications. And that's some good information to have because you can then, you know, adjust accordingly depending
right.
on your strategy.
Right, exactly. And having those touch points, those real touch points that people can actually talk to you and that you're real and they get you. Because I think far too long, like you said, people were burned and it's a and they're looking for something different. They really want that connection. So Lisa,
well,
thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, it's just so true, and it's another illustration of how, you know, when you mention people have been burned, it's another illustration of that buyer's remorse that was kind of perpetuated from that problem, agitate, and solve approach, and for some of the kind of black hat online marketing techniques.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the challenge, solution, and invitation is resonating with so many people. So.
Yeah.
Lisa, thank you so much for being the creator of that, and thank you so much for just giving so much great advice, content, strategy today on this call. I just wanted to acknowledge you and thank you so much for sharing all that with everyone here and all the Success Circle members, so thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's always my pleasure, Lisa. Thanks.
You're welcome, and thank you, and thank you, everybody. And until next time, create a great life.
Bye, everybody.